if you are above correction from people that you perceive to be beneath you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if I have a title, you know, in this local church, and you don't have a title in this local church, you cannot correct me. And that is completely false.
Mm-mm-mm.
Completely false.
Come on, man. Let's talk about it. Truth is violent.
Yeah, it is.
Because truth, if, you know, for the person who's not living in truth, to hear a truth that hits too close to home, you know, it feels like an attack.
Sure.
Right? And there's a 100%. Whole group of people out there right now that are trying to convince the world that telling them something that they didn't want to hear or doesn't like is the same as shooting them in the foot or physically attacking them. You know, so this is how deep this thing goes, man. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree podcast with Troy and Bruce. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Troy.
And today we're going to talk about doctrines of demons. Some people, I think some verses say doctrines of devils. I think we're talking about the same thing. And it's going to be a great conversation. But before we get into that, Troy, I know you have an announcement that you'd like to make. So I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, so this is for all of our viewers and, you know, old and new alike. We are still under our migration from the Living Waters page or YouTube channel, moving all of our content over to the Under the Fig Tree channel. So we have a channel specifically just for the podcast. Mm-hmm. It was a little difficult for people to find us because they didn't know what to look for. And so we're still in that effort. We're going to run both channels, Bruce, side by side.
Okay.
Until December 31st, and then January 1st, we'll shut off the content from the Living Waters page, and we'll be exclusively on the Under the Fig Tree page.
Got it.
So wow. What I'm asking is all of our listeners and viewers, if you would, and you've already subscribed to our channel in the past, just make sure you make the subscription over to the Under the Fig Tree channel, and you should be able to find us if you see the logo, like right up here by my head. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Under the Fig Tree.
Am I looking at it?
Right? If you go to the Under the Fig Tree YouTube page, look for our logo. And that way you won't subscribe to the wrong page. So that's what we got.
Awesome. Well, as I said, thank you, Troy. As I said, we're going to talk about doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons today.
Yep.
And if you hang around in the Bible and you're a student of the Bible, you probably already know that we're probably going to get started. Our first scripture will be out of 1 Timothy 4, and we'll start at verse 1. I'm going to read it, Troy, and then, you know, let's just get into the conversation, man. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves," I think that's important, "devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings or doctrines of demons." Troy, that's very interesting to me. It always has been for many years. I thought, wow, when I was younger in the Lord, you know, I would ask questions kind of to myself, but kind of to the Lord, like, Lord, how are demons teaching, you know, false doctrines? What does that look like? You know, is it, you know, seances, you know what I'm saying? Are people seeking out demons, you know, for what they think is revelation? See my fingers, Troy, revelation.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Is it people who are cooperating with demons and they have a following and they're teaching something that is not actually accurate to the Bible? And I felt in my heart like the Lord was saying, yes, all of the above, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm real excited about us digging into this just a little bit. And of course, it's a very big subject, but, you know, we'll do our best for the time we got.
Yeah, so when we start talking about this stuff, Bruce, in a nutshell, okay, what the doctrines of devils are, doctrines of demons, however you want to call it, is anything that's going to steer you away from the truth.
Right.
Right? And that's just the umbrella term, right?
Yeah.
But inside and underneath that umbrella, there's a whole bunch of different nuances of not just what is being taught, but also who's doing the teaching. Right? There's a whole bunch of moving parts and pieces to this.
Yes.
In this day and age, we just have so much access to information. And we sometimes see that the access to information is a good thing. But that right there in and of itself is already a doctrine of devils. Because simply this, all knowledge is not good knowledge. We weren't meant to have all knowledge. In the beginning, man was not meant to know the difference between good and evil. He was only meant to know God. Then you have this second supernatural being that comes into the picture that introduces a different way. There's your first example of doctrines of devils, right? Steers them away from the truth when God already specifically and emphatically told them, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And he brings in this if. Or did God really, is that what he really said? Did he really mean, I mean, what is dying anyway, right? Because they
What
would
is
have had
that?
no knowledge of what dying, right? How can that be a bad thing? It's just the simple twisting, and not even a full breaking of truth, but just a simple twisting that can lead you down this road to these doctrines of devils. And I mean, there's a whole lot we're going to say about it, but in a nutshell, that's where we start.
Yeah, that's good, man. You know what I want to do, because there are some there right off the top. We started in 1 Timothy, right? Verse 4, and I deliberately stopped at the end of verse 1, but now I want to continue for another couple of verses because there's some really, really good hints here as to, the doctrines, right? That are out there and that have been out there. So I'm going to start over with verse 1 and read into 2 and 3 and maybe 4. So now the Spirit expressly says, this is 1 Timothy 4. I'm starting at verse 1 again. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars. Ooh, that's good right there. That's a big hint. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. You don't get a seared conscience overnight.
No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't
It's
happen that way.
something that you've, it says it in verse one, have devoted yourself, right?
Correct.
You're spending time going after something that doesn't actually line up with the word of God. Okay, verse 3. Who forbid marriage, oh, wow. Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Wow, that's there's a lot in there, man. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to hang out for a half a second in verse 2, through the insincerity of liars. As I was studying this a little bit, it's interesting. Troy, there's a particular word that kept coming back up in connection to doctrines of demons, and the word was liar. Right? The word was liar. And then it gives some examples about abstaining from food. There is a word, it sounds like a fancy word, but I mean, it's really simple. The word is asceticism, right? And the Bible talks about asceticism. I knew people that taught asceticism very strongly and kind of tried to require all that followed him to practice what is known as asceticism. You guys can look it up if you're not familiar with it. then this is what I tell people when I'm teaching them one-on-one, face-to-face. They say, well, what does that mean? I say, look it up, right? So I'll tell you all the same thing. Go look it up. I know what it means. You go look it up. But it has to do with verse 3, abstaining from things that God called good, that God established, right? Abstaining from marriage. Oh, you shouldn't get married. You should just, oh, watch this. Watch how good this sounds. You should just devote yourself to the Lord. You don't need to get married. Just devote yourself to God and be like somebody in the Bible or what have you, right? Be like Paul or be like Jesus himself or be like whatever. If you're called to that, right? That's one
That's
thing.
one thing.
If
Yeah,
God
that's one thing.
called you to that, that's one thing. But that doesn't negate the fact that he made marriage and made marriage good. You know what I'm saying? That's
Agreed.
just one of them. You talk about the food. You know what I'm saying? We knew people who insisted that you shouldn't eat grapes, who insisted that you don't drink grape juice, who insisted that you don't eat certain foods because somehow not eating those foods was going to make you more holy. That's asceticism. And in my humble opinion, based on the word of God, it is more a doctrine of demons than the doctrine of God.
Correct. And I'm gonna and well, you pushed everything up to the cliff, so I'll knock it over the
We're not 5 minutes yet, man.
I know it. I know it. Here's the deal, man. A lot of times, and I'm glad you explained that the way you did. We've gotten here by bending our ear to anyone and everyone, right?
Absolutely. Great
This is how
point,
we've
Troy.
gotten here.
Great point.
And there's a voice that we're supposed to follow. And you know, that's the voice we're supposed to hear, and other voices we're not supposed to follow.
Right.
But somehow we've ended up bending our ear to these other voices, and I'm going to tell you why. And
Come
this
on.
is going to be one good key, Bruce,
Yeah.
to whether this is a doctrine of God or a doctrine of devils. It's a good way to make a distinction. If it appeases your flesh, it is most likely
Most
not a
likely.
doctrine of God.
That's a great litmus test.
And so certain things do appease the flesh. Hey, that sounds good. I think I can do that. I know I can do that, and I don't have to give up anything to do this. And you know, and it probably is. I think it's fair to say, and I'm not saying 100%, but in a lot of cases, that probably would lend itself to being a doctrine of devils.
I agree. I agree absolutely.
When it gratifies flesh, when it promotes flesh, especially when it promotes self,
Yes.
when it promotes self, then it's definitely not in the way that we're supposed to be going.
Yeah.
These doctrines are very subtle in a lot of cases. For instance, let's go back to what you explained about asceticism. Here's a good thing to look at. If this teaching can promote a what's how does scripture say it? If it promotes a form of godliness,
Yes.
right? But there's literally no power
Right.
involved with what you're doing. There's no power to change. There's no power to live a certain way. There's no power to uplift or edify anybody. If this is what this is, then this probably falls in line with that, right? The Bible talks about the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And th this is the whole spirit of religion, Bruce. The whole spirit of religion promotes this as a doctrine of God, when really it's not. It's very self-centered. It's very humanistic. It's very works-based. That's another good one too, when it's works-based. And you just deny the grace of God.
It's like I'm thinking of. And just for the sake of just not having to deal with some people, everybody I think at this point kind of figure out what I'm talking about, but I won't call them by name. Not that I'm afraid to, but I just don't have to. I'm thinking about a particular group of people in the earth that absolutely believe they've drank the Kool-Aid, for lack of a better term, in relation to the works thing. It to me and others, it makes absolutely no sense that there would only be 144,000 that's going to make it anyway. Hint, hint. You know what I'm saying? And that you got to spend your whole life going door to door. Hint, hint. You know? And trying to convince people, to be a part of your thing, even though you've been told that your thing is limited to 144,000 people. You would think that the motivation would not be to go try to get more in. The motivation would be to not bring people in.
Increase your
I'm
own
using
odds,
that
right?
at, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. I'm just using it as an example. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff out there, I believe, Troy, as you stated earlier, that we pr most, I believe most believers don't even think about, that I do believe would fall under the auspices of doctrines of demons. Some
Of
of them, I
course.
think you said it already, simple, really subtle things. You know what I'm saying? But to your point also, I want to read 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, because I think that goes in with what you just said. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching,
Correct.
but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves, teachers to suit their own passions. To your point that you just made, straight out the word.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because this is really, really, really where we are, because there's an all-inclusive gospel that Jesus brought to this earth, right? But I think sometimes when people have this all-inclusive mentality when it comes to the gospel, it means somehow the standard changes of how to live holy. And that's just not the case,
It's not.
right? And we've done a good job, and I say good, the quote's up, we've done a good job inside of especially this Western Christian way of saying that, this lifestyle is okay and this lifestyle is okay. And I hear this all the time. Well, God loves everybody. Well, that's true. It's 100% true. But that agape love that God has, or that God is, quite frankly, that all-inclusive, it never fades, it never goes away, is unconditional. That unconditional love does not mean unconditional acceptance. And I
It
think
does
they get,
not.
yeah, they get the two mixed up. So yes, God loves you unconditionally, but that doesn't mean he accepts everything that you do.
That's exactly right.
And some people have a hard time with that, but if you have children, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. You can't let the little rascal, when he first starts crawling and he starts heading right towards the outlet, with a piece of metal in his hand, you can't just let him do what he wants to do. Doesn't mean that you don't love the child. It's just I don't accept that behavior.
Well,
You
isn't
can't
there a
do that
scripture
to
that
this
even
day.
says that if you don't discipline your child, you hate them?
Absolutely. The
So
Bible tells you that straight up.
there's some
It,
things
straight up.
that are twisted up, man, in the understanding
But
of what God's unconditional love means. Absolutely, there's some things
everything's
that
not
are upside
acceptable
down.
by him.
Everything's not
It's
acceptable.
just not it's not acceptable by him. And some people just have a hard time dealing with that. And I think it's because they've allowed these deceitful, and I think one of the words for deceitful in that concordance, Bruce, in 1 Timothy 4, one of the words is seducing.
Great word.
They've been seduced by these spirits to say, God's okay with this. God is perfectly fine with this, and he's not.
Well, I think that's even where the old saying, horrible saying, that God knows my heart comes from. You know what I'm saying?
It should go without saying, you know what I mean?
it's like, really, you
It should
know, I
go
mean,
without saying.
is that supposed to be revelation or what? No, people say it because they are using it as a way to excuse their behavior. You know what I'm saying? A way to excuse, and I think if someone was to be extraordinarily honest, brutally honest, I call it, they would just come out and say it. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because God knows my heart. Just go ahead and say the whole thing. They say the other part internally, and then they only verbalize, God knows my God. That's my take on it, Troy. You know what I'm saying? In their hearts, they're saying, I know this is wrong. I know I ain't got no business doing this. I know this goes against the Bible in 10 different ways. This goes against the Bible, but I want to do it. And so I'm going to say, God knows my heart. He knows that I still love him. He knows that okay. All right. Just like it's appointed to man to die once, and after that, the judgment.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he knows your heart, but guess what the Bible says? You're going to die and you're going to be judged.
Exactly.
You
And
know,
it's
so
plain. It's real simple.
it's
If
real simple.
you go back to verse one, Bruce,
Yeah.
give you a really good doctrine of devils, just out of verse one.
Okay.
Can you read that one again?
Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times some will depart from the faith by
Stop right there.
devoting, right there.
Some will depart from the faith.
Some will depart from the faith.
There is this doctrine of devils that says once saved, always saved.
Yeah, that's a good one, Troy.
And it specifically says here, there will be people that will depart from the faith.
That's a good one,
Now,
man.
how can you depart from the faith if you weren't part of the faith? Right? It's a very dangerous doctrine because now people, if they catch hold of that, they'll say, well, I can live any way I want to live and still be in right standing with God.
Right.
And we're not being, taskmasters or anything like that. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God,
Sure.
right? Now, I need people to understand this too, because I can already hear people listening to this say, I have a good relationship with God. Well, there's some people that have a relationship with the police, but it doesn't mean it's a good one. Right?
Good point.
Yeah, you can have a relationship with God, but it doesn't mean it's a good one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. That's one of those that's really sneaky, because people will have you believe that, once you're saved, you can't. Well, that violates free will.
Yep. Sure does.
What if you make the stupid decision that you just don't want to be saved anymore? I've
Well, you
changed my
know,
mind. It just doesn't make sense.
well, it doesn't make sense from so many different angles. It doesn't make sense also, Troy, from the angle of God didn't make you get saved.
Correct.
Nobody made you get saved. You had
Correct.
to make the choice to come in. You had to make the choice to accept him. And then once you get in, he locks the door behind you. Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't make
It
sense.
doesn't make sense. If he
So
didn't
just
make
right
you get
there,
saved, you think he's going to make you stay saved if you don't want to?
no. Right there in verse one, it just there's one that's right there, right in front of us in verse one. And this is really how subtle this stuff can be, because now think about this, just what we said before, that doctrine does appeal to your flesh,
It sure does.
because I can live how I want to live, I can fornicate if I want to, I can have adult make you know have adultery if I want to, I can lie if I want to, I can steal and cheat if I want to, because once I'm saved, I'm always saved,
And
and
you
it
know
just doesn't
what,
work that
man?
way.
And it's so demonic, for lack of a better term, Troy, because people who think like that will get up and go to church or go to a church service, will feel what they believe to be the presence of God, which, from H.B. Franklin's perspective, it's probably not so much the presence of God as it is your feelings and emotions and your flesh in the moment.
Yes, sir.
But that feeling that you get further convinces you that the bed you just got out of the night before
Oh boy.
is not an issue with God, because it's now Sunday morning and my favorite song is being sung and they're tearing it up and I'm weeping and crying because I feel God. That's what they think. I feel God. You know what I'm saying? So when we talk about doctrines of demons, man, it's I even see some of the actual workings of it in like what I just explained. You
Oh,
can
sure.
end up having something that, once again, to your point, appeals to your flesh, and somehow you convert it to being a spiritual thing.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You get me?
I do, 100%. So for people who are watching this, especially for your first time, like, what are these crazy dudes talking about, right? Right, I don't know if I believe. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to believe what I say. Matthew 16, right? Matthew 16, verse 24. These are red letters, so that means this is Jesus is saying this, right?
Come
He
on,
said,
G.
"If any man is to come after me, he must first what? Deny himself."
He got to deny himself, man.
Which means everything about your flesh can't go. You have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. You must first deny yourself.
Yes, sir.
And so this again, what we're saying is these doctrines of devils will never tell you to deny yourself in a
No,
way
sir.
that's holy. It
Nope.
just won't. Now, it'll tell you to deny yourself in a way that's religious.
In a way that brings pride.
Correct. That was going to bring me to my next point, spiritual pride. I literally have that in my notes, spiritual pride. Now, that spiritual pride is, it boils down to this, Bruce, and we talked about works before, right? Let me say it this way. I like this stuff, right? This is what spiritual pride looks like. Okay? If a person is above correction, then that is a person who is not submitted. That's what spiritual pride looks like. If you are above correction, then you are not submitted.
That's right.
Now that's in general. Now here's something crazy. This is also what spiritual pride looks like. If you are above correction from people that you perceive to be beneath you,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
So if I have a title, in this local church, and you don't have a title in this local church, you cannot correct me. And that is completely false. Completely false.
Come on, man, let's talk about it.
Revelation, oh boy, revelation comes through relationship, not longevity.
That's exactly right, Troy.
Comes through relationship, not longevity. Many people think because I've been walking this long, then I know so much. More than the person who hasn't been walking as long, but God is not so much concerned with the length of your walk as he is the closeness. Is
That's right.
that fair?
That is very fair.
The closer I am to him, the relationship that I have, this is where revelation is birthed from. All revelation comes through relationship. Now, whether it comes through somebody else's relationship or not, but it still comes through relationship.
Well, sure it does. Sure it
That's the only
does.
place it comes from.
That's the
And
only
so,
place it comes from. And honestly, if it comes through, I'd add this to what you're saying, Troy. If it comes through someone else's relationship with God, for me, I would say that it's still not revelation to you
Correct.
until it's operating in your life. Which means you took the revelation that someone else got in spending time with God and chose to make it your own by spending time with God concerning that thing you're calling revelation. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, I'm glad you said it because that was going to keep me from saying it and then giving you credit for it. I know we've talked about it before in
We've talked about it
the
before, man.
past.
It's to me, revelation is not revelation until it's working in your life. But I absolutely co-signed the statement you just made about revelation comes from. I think I just put something on my on one of my social media pages recently that revelation doesn't come from intelligence gathering. So it comes from intimacy with God.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't come from intelligence, but I gotta now amend that because you've added it doesn't come from longevity either. So now
No,
I gotta amend my quote. It doesn't come from
it
longevity, it doesn't come
doesn't.
from information gathering. There are people who know the Bible inside and out, cover to cover, but don't really spend time with God.
Well, the enemy of your soul is like that.
Ah.
He knows more words than we do. He can quote it better than you can. That's how he twists it, right?
And this is why he can come and say, "Did God say
Correct. 100%.
that?"
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
You sure you got that right? And woe be unto you if you don't know the Bible. Woe be unto you if you don't know the word. Woe be unto you if you don't know the heart of your Father, which you can only know by reading his word and spending time with him.
Yeah, man.
Because
That's it.
when your time comes and he says, "Is that really what he meant?" And you're not able to say, "That's exactly what he meant. Now get out of my face, devil."
We have tons of crazy doctrines, and I know we're not gonna be able to get into all of them because this podcast will be about 30 hours, but there's just so many. We just talked about spiritual pride and the lacking of power. These are just like characteristics, right? But I'm gonna tell you how we get into some of these, Bruce. Kind of switching gears here. Before I switch gears, I don't feel right unless I say this. Selective obedience too is a characteristic of the doctrines of devils.
It is.
Selective obedience. This is where you cherry pick the word, for lack of a better term. I like this part, but this part doesn't really apply to me.
Yeah, Troy. Yeah, I think that's a really good one. I'm glad you stopped to say that. If I may, let me add this one as well. Sacrifice after selectively disobeying.
Oh man. Well, we could shut the
Sacrificing after selectively disobeying God
podcast down now.
and thinking that, well, I didn't do what he wanted me to do, but I'm gonna do extra over here and it'll be okay. Ah, no. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no. No. So I think they go together. The point that you just made.
It does. So that passage out of First Samuel where he says obedience is better than sacrifice, and people tend to use that a lot of times. Where, let me say it this way. The times that I've seen it used, in settings was the times where it was almost manipulative, right? And the point of that passage, and if you go on to read on the rest of what Samuel was saying, he said, look, obedience is better than sacrifice. And all this, the fat of these animals, I'm paraphrasing all this stuff. That's really not what God requires, right? The only reason you sacrifice is because of disobedience, right?
That's
So
exactly
in
right.
other words, what Samuel is saying, if you obeyed, you wouldn't have to
You
sacrifice,
wouldn't have to sacrifice.
right? You just obey. This is what God said. Just obey what God said, and then you
Yes,
don't
sir.
have to sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
That's how the sacrificial system came into place in the first place, was because of disobedience. And so either way, but I like that you brought in that point. Bruce, I'm gonna tell you, this is how we get ourselves into this, okay? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God,
Unto
right?
God.
Unto God, which means that's not my approval, that's not your approval. This is God's approval, right?
Yes.
And so I'm studying to show myself approved to God, a workman not being ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth, which means you can wrongfully divide the word of truth. I
Sure.
know you can because I've done it in the past,
Yeah,
right? And so what we're trying to do and what our goal is to do in this walk is study this book so you know how to live this life, right? And I can be approved. I can be approved by God. Now, I'm not concerned so much with other people because the other people aren't my standard. God is my standard,
God
right?
is the
And
standard.
so
That's good.
if God says, hey, you're good here, then I'm good here. So regardless of what people say, when God says I'm approved because you have met my standard, I'm good to go. Does that make sense? Now, when we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, this is where we get ourselves into trouble, right? Because how can you know what the lie is if you don't know the truth? The truth was established first, and everything that deviates from truth is the lie. But if I don't know the
Boy.
truth, how do I know I'm deviating? You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And so we study this word, we get this word in us. David said this way, help me to hide the word in my heart that I might not
That I
sin
might
against
not
you.
sin against you.
Because if it's in my heart, not just my head, if it's in my heart, right?
Yeah.
Then what am I saying when I say help me to hide the word in my, help me to hide your truth in my
Yeah.
heart
Yeah.
that I might not sin against. This way, when I hear truth, it resonates with my inner man,
Yeah.
right? And so this is one of the issues that we're having. Now, Bruce, I'm gonna tell you this, and getting down to it, one good way that we delve off into these teachings of demons is when we develop doctrine off of the exception and not the rule.
Oh boy, that's good, Troy. Man, that's good, man.
This is what hurts us.
That's
We'll
good.
see an exception that God makes in the
Yeah.
Bible for a certain person for a certain reason, and we'll build a doctrine based off of that,
Wow.
and we'll hold everybody else to that doctrine when God meant that for that one person for that one reason.
I got a wild one. Let me give you an example. This is so far out there. Y'all forgive me because my funny just turned on, but I got a wild one, I think, in regards to what you just said. People who handle snakes.
Oh, yes. There you go. There you go.
Is
The
it possible
exception.
that they got that from when the
Oh.
viper, jumped on
Bit
Paul,
Paul? Yeah.
bit Paul, he shook him
Yeah.
off?
Yeah.
Is it
Yeah.
possible that they got that from the scripture to say, and if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you, da 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 da. So is it possible?
It is possible. Quite possible. That's the exception.
That's the exception.
That's the exception,
Yes,
not
sir.
the rule,
Not the
right?
rule.
And so what we do is we see that exception and we build doctrine off of it. And then we invite people to our churches and we grab a big box of snakes and we wonder why people don't come back.
Wonder why people die.
Yeah, it is the exception and we don't build doctrine off the exception.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, we deal with a lot of deliverance ministry and we've seen this, we've heard this, we've seen people practice this. Because Jesus had an encounter with a madman of Gadaris, and he asked him, what is your name? He said, it is Legion, for we are many. And they
Right.
built a doctrine off that is that you can't cast out a demon unless you know its name. No,
Yeah.
that was an exception.
Yeah.
And you don't build the doctrine off. There's too many times in scripture where he did cast them out without knowing names.
Yes, that's a
But
really
we
good
build
one, man.
off this one thing. And we say it's got to be done this way or no way. And it's just not true. This is what gets us into trouble.
Well, okay, since I brought a bunch of stuff to the cliff and you pushed it off, and now we're compiling a bunch more stuff to bring to the cliff. Let me add one thing on there before we push it off.
Sir.
Talking about doctrines of devils, and this is going to hurt. I already know. I'm going to say it up front. It might hurt a little bit, some of the people who might hear this. But think about it from the perspective of what we're talking about. There was a young man who fasted, and he fasted for a certain amount of days. He didn't set in his heart to fast for that many days. He set in his heart to fast until an answer came from God.
Oh boy. Are we getting close to that time of year too?
We are getting very close to that time of year,
Okay.
Troy.
All right.
The Bible plainly tells us in his words what his goal was. He was going to fast until he got an answer from the Lord. It happened to end up being 21 days.
Yes, sir.
And today, well-meaning, loving people who I know, many of them, and I know they love the Lord with all their hearts, still try to, or have for many years, call a particular fast that just happened to be that same number of days. I've known of people, Troy, that try to establish a 40-day fast. And I didn't know these people personally, but I heard a story from someone that we knew very well, that these two women came into agreement with themselves, with each other, that they would fast for 40 days. They both died. I don't see God in that.
No.
I don't see that being, I see it being a doctrine of devils. This is how subtle this is, man. It's all through the church.
It is.
Troy, it's all through the church. You take something, okay, if I may, there's a word that just came to mind. It's an old school word, Old Testament word. The word is Nehushtan. It has to do with Moses and the instructions he got from God when the serpents were biting and killing everybody. And Moses, being the intermediary, right, the intercessor, as it were, goes to God. God says, I tell you what, make a bronze serpent, put them on a tall pole, and tell the people, come look at it. When they come and look up at the serpent on the pole, then they'll be okay, right? Isn't it amazing that from that time till now, people will, to your point, take a particular thing that may be, I love the word you used, exception to the rule, an exception, and then try to build a whole thing around it. And so that thing became called, known as Nehushtan. And Nehushtan in plain language means simply the thing that God was doing that he's not doing anymore. So think about, man, something that actually was originated by God himself that he did, and now he's not doing it anymore, but you still got people in the earth that are still doing it. Guess what that becomes? To me, it becomes a doctrine of devil. To me, you open yourself up for the enemy to now use that against you, even though it originated as something that came from God. This is how crazy this is, Troy.
It is extremely crazy. Throughout the Bible, we see doctrines of devils many times. It's nothing new, right? The Bible specifically tells us there's nothing new under the sun. This is the same trick. It's the
It's the same
same
trick.
same MO. From the beginning, Exodus, was that 6 or 7, somewhere around there. Moses goes to the Pharaoh, let my people go, throws down his stick, throws down his rod, and the magicians throw down their rods. Same result.
Same result.
These false wonders, these false signs and stuff like that, doctrines of demons, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Doctrines of demons.
All day.
These false signs. I'm not talking about the actual ones, not the real ones. These false signs, people that are able to work demonic power to make signs and things like that come to pass. Doctrines of demons, man.
Yeah, man.
People that follow the zodiac,
Dude.
doctrines of demons.
Dude.
Okay, so the Bible says this: when the Spirit of Truth comes, right?
Yeah.
part of what he's supposed to do. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Can't be led by the Spirit of God and the Zodiac at the same time.
You cannot.
It's just not. I'm talking to the believers, right?
You can't.
If you're one of those that you're big into the Zodiac, just repent and be led by the Spirit of God.
That's exactly
To
right.
them that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But you can't be led by the Zodiac. Doctrines of demons, right? Okay, all right, let me throw this on the pile too before we push it over. Ready?
Okay.
Your sororities and fraternities. Doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons.
Come on.
Just being honest with you, it violates so much scripture.
Yeah,
It violates so much scripture. If
it
you have
does.
somebody in your fraternity who does not serve God, and you are a believer who is serving God, how can that be your brother?
Right.
How can it be? In the simplest way,
Yeah.
that's a doctrine of demons. It violates scripture.
It does.
Jesus said this about his own mother. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? But those that do the will of the one that sent me.
Yeah.
So who are your brothers? The ones that do the will of God,
The ones
not
that
the
do the
ones
will
that
of
wear the
God.
same colors that you do and the same you do the same dance step or whatever that is, these guys,
Hand
whatever it
gestures.
is. Yeah, it doctrines of demons, man. You got
Yeah.
to be able to see this. And I know it goes against your tradition, but that's kind of what the Word of God does anyway. I know it goes
That's right.
against your social structure, but that's kind of what the Word of God does anyway. I know it even goes against your sense of belonging, but that's kind of what the Word of God does anyway.
Yep.
Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord.
Yep.
Real simple.
It is simple, man. And it's hard for people to hear who,
Sure.
who engage in those things,
Sure.
but that doesn't make it any less true.
Yeah, it doesn't. And if that's you and this is your last time, thank you for joining us under the fig tree.
It doesn't make it any less true, man.
No.
And Troy, we've talked about this before. I have this, I have this thing, man. If you get mad at something that I say, isn't that in and of itself a good reason to consider what I said?
At least consider it.
If it
At
makes you
least.
mad, if it solicits anger, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Or whatever that emotion is, it because what was said has, I've always said this about truth, that truth is violent.
Yeah, it is.
Because truth, if for the person who's not living in truth, to hear a truth that hits too close to home, it feels like an attack,
Sure.
right? And there's a
100%.
whole group of people out there right now that are trying to convince the world that telling them something that they didn't want to hear or doesn't like is the same as shooting them in the foot or physically attacking them. So this is how deep this thing goes, man.
It
But I
does.
just wanted to say that because if we don't like it, oh my God, the things that God has said to me over the years that I didn't like, that I didn't, you know what I'm saying, that was challenging. I think about Jesus when he Jesus made a statement about rich people getting into heaven. Remember that?
I do.
And it jacked up his own disciples were jacked up. And they threw their hands up and said, who can be saved? You know what I'm saying? They
Just
said,
give
look,
up.
to me, this is my funny, y'all. Just bear with me. To me, I can see Peter and them going, we all going to hell. We all going to hell. We're going to bust hell wide open. And based on what Jesus just said, they said, who can be saved? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Truth is violent. Unless you live in truth, unless you honor truth, unless you value truth, when you hear it, becomes an attacker against the lies that you've been told.
Yeah.
There's nobody that did it better than Jesus himself. He would
Yeah.
say something that would drive the Pharisees and those guys bonkers, man. And it
Oh,
was
yeah.
nothing but truth.
On a regular basis. I mean, even to the point where he points out their own hypocrisy.
Yes.
And he basically tells them that your righteousness is largely a show
It's a show.
you're performing. And I mean, even to the point where he says your father is the devil.
He does, man.
Like it's
He
incredible,
does.
man.
And
It's
they're like,
incredible.
who's gonna throw the
Like,
first rock? Who's gonna, we gotta kill him, we gotta kill him,
yeah.
we gotta kill
Yeah,
him,
man.
we gotta kill him, right?
But he
And
was very confrontational when it came when he needed to be. He was very confrontational.
yes, he
And,
was.
but it was not confrontation for the sake of confrontation. It was confrontation for the sake of loving people and having them turn back to truth. This the doctrine of demons will turn you away from truth,
Yes.
but Jesus is truth, and so
That's
all
right.
he's trying to do is turn you back to him.
That's exactly right. You know,
It,
Troy,
he's
I've always said, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody and we were talking about parenting, and I said, you know, a good father doesn't care about being right. A good father cares that their child finally gets it. You know what I'm saying?
I
We have
love
a
that.
good father. He's not willing to be confrontational with you through his son Jesus, through his son Troy, through his son Bruce, through his son, you know, Philip or John or Ewan, who, you know what I'm saying, or Kathy. He wants his people. He wants people to get the truth. And if that means offending your sensibilities, there's nobody that did it better than Jesus. He didn't care about your sensibilities being offended if he could speak truth to your darkness. Darkness meaning your ignorance. You know what I'm
Darkness
saying?
meaning your ignorance.
Darkness meaning your ignorance. If he could speak truth to your darkness and give you the opportunity, the possibility to come out of darkness into his marvelous light, then guess what? He was willing to do that. We got to be willing to do the same thing. And there's
Absolutely.
some things, man, that I'm telling you right now. Let me be evangelistic for a minute. You know, I was being funny earlier about his disciples saying we all gonna bust hell wide open. But here's the truth of it. Unless we get this thing right, there are people who go to church every single time the doors open, Troy. And unless they finally come to this place where they become intimate with truth, there is a very real possibility that they will bust hell wide open.
Very
And
real.
that's just that's it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. If the Bible says, listen, if Jesus said that at the end of this thing, there will be those that he will have to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It don't sound like he's talking about unsaved people. It sounds like he might be talking about unsaved people, but unsaved people who thought that they were saved because they had a very strong religious thing going on for many, many years and whatever, only to find out at the end that they had a strong religious thing going on, but didn't have a strong relationship with Jesus.
Correct.
To the degree that there were miracles, Troy.
To that degree.
To the degree that there were even miracles. I asked God one day, I said, Lord, why? I know you know some people are kind of jacked up, but talking about preachers, right? This I asked the Lord this. I said, but they still lay hands on people and something happens. Well, what's that all about? I didn't know. I was young. He said, because it's the assumption that it's the anointing on the person when I'm responding to the faith on the person that's in the person being prayed for.
Correct.
He said, most times I'm responding to the faith, not to the anointing, because only people who are anointed are impressed with their anointing. I'm not, because it came from me. So many times you have people who are doing things, once again, doctrines of devils. I can function like this, and the fact that it still works means that me and God are okay. Oh, that's a big one, dude.
No, sometimes people are validated by that. They live a certain lifestyle. They're still getting results. Let me say it. They are still getting results.
They are still getting results.
But what they don't realize is God is being merciful for the sake of the people, not to validate your sinful behavior. So, it's a very slippery slope there, Bruce, because once people start operating in that and they see the results, even though they know my lifestyle is not lining up to what God's standard is, they, well, I guess me and God are okay because he's still letting me, it doesn't have much to do with you. In fact, you ought to honor God's mercy by repenting because you know how you're living and you still see he's using you. Just repent,
Absolutely.
and just do it the right way.
Absolutely.
We've seen this tons of times, tons of times, whether it be extremely public or whether it just be in circles that you know of. We've seen it tons of times. I've been asked to go to people on behalf of God and talk to them about their behavior,
Yeah, sure.
only to be pushed away and
Yeah.
rejected. And I'm
Yeah.
like, all right, well, you can't unhear me.
Yeah, no,
I said what I
no.
needed to say, and what I was told to say, and I leave it alone, but you can't unhear me, And so,
I knew big, big, big time ministers. One in particular comes to mind that went to another extraordinarily well-known minister to do exactly the same thing, Troy. God sent him to go and tell them, "Hey, look, man, you need to get yourself together. If you don't, I'm going to finally go ahead and judge it." Only to be rejected. And then God judged it and exposed it and let it be exposed to the whole world. When they did it for years and years and years and years. And then he sends the man of God, who, by the way, the situation I'm thinking of, the man of God had at look had to travel thousands, literally thousands of miles, right, over a couple of days. In modern times, when you have airplanes, it still took a couple of days and thousands of miles just to obey God and just to be rejected. And the rejection was, "Who do you think you are telling me anything? Who are you?"
You perceive that person to be beneath you. That's that spiritual pride.
Listen, man, I got a scripture, 1 Timothy 6. Let's see. I'm going to start at verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine
Oh boy.
and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Wow.
Okay. So
Wow.
thank you for bringing that up. Let me deal with one part of this first. Galatians 5 talks to us about the fruit of the spirit, but it also talks to us about the works of the flesh.
Yeah.
And it even says the works of the flesh are evident,
Yep.
which means they can't be hidden. Everybody sees it,
Everybody
right?
sees.
So when you go down through this list of things, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrel. All these things are in those works of the flesh. The unhealthy craving for controversy, the quarreling, that's part of the works of the flesh.
Yeah.
The envy and dissension, the slander, all that's part of the works of the flesh. And it's so interesting when you read this and you present this, because we had just talked about those things that kind of lend itself to the comfort of your own flesh.
Yes.
You know, this just fits in perfect.
It
You
does.
know, you have that desire for constant friction, the evil
Constant friction.
suspicions. You know what I mean? Yeah, you ever seen people that they'll call their suspicions discernment? Never seen that? They're just suspicious of somebody, and I'm discerning that no, you're just suspicious. You know, it's just be honest. You don't care for the person, so you just think they automatically have the worst plans in mind, and you're calling your suspicions discernment and trying to make it a holy thing when really of your soulish realm. So
I had somebody do that
it's
to me
messed up.
before, Troy.
Yeah.
Do you see what I see? And I said, no.
Mm-mm.
And that ended the conversation. No, for real. For real.
Yeah.
Are you picking up something about them? And I said, no, I'm not. And then it got awkward. And that was it.
That's a good conversation.
You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah.
that's another thing, man, for mature believers to be able to squash it also. You might
Correct.
help somebody. Maybe, you
Correct.
know, I'd love to think that that person would think twice the next time that they try to share. You see my quote fingers. They try to share something, right? You know, but sometimes, yeah, it's just, yeah, you know, no, I don't see that. Why are you seeing that?
Yeah. If anyone teaches a different doctrine.
If anyone teaches, see, Troy, listen, now we're talking about teachers. Now we're talking about ministers of the gospel. Now we're
Yeah.
talking about the fivefold. If anyone teaches. Now, of course, it says anyone. So, you know, it goes beyond apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But my point
Correct.
is that there's a point being made here about those that position themselves, or at least believe that they have been positioned by God to teach. They
Correct.
took on the role, whether they sincerely believe God called them to it, or whether they just went ahead and thought, you know, I'm gonna get me a following and I'm gonna do it. It's still talking about people who see themselves a certain way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I can't be
100%.
wrong because, you know, my followers hang on my every word. And that's why God will never use anybody under me to correct me, because I can't be wrong, because I am the man of God.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I could have swore that David was a king and Nathan was a prophet. Right? And so the king in the nation, the king is above the prophet, right? Okay, and so the prophet is there to serve the king, not the other way around.
That's correct.
But when David was caught in sin, the prophet who serves the king came and talked to him about his sin for the purpose of correction. Right? And so I don't think we can just avoid that and act like it doesn't exist, trying to ignore that. It is quite possible.
It is quite possible.
And I'll tell you why it's quite possible. Because in the correction from somebody that you perceive to be lower than you, in order for you to accept that correction, you have to humble yourself, which is what God wanted in the first place.
That's exactly right. That's
What he
exactly
wanted.
right.
Yeah. So you got to be open to correction because truth sounds the same wherever it comes from, right?
It doesn't matter where truth comes from. And
Doesn't
a
matter.
wise man will value truth over everything else.
Correct.
A wise man, the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing, but the Bible says that a wise man accepts correction.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to avoid it. He doesn't reject it. He embraces correction. Doesn't say he embraces correction only from those that he deems are above him.
Correct.
You
Correct.
know, I've said this many times in the past, Troy. I'm looking for God always. So if I'm driving down the road, I've literally had this happen to me before. God was wanting to get my attention. I'm driving down the road. I get to a plain red red and white stop sign, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Stop! I want you to stop doing da 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 da." It was almost hokey dokey, right? But it was just me and God in the car. You know what I'm saying? But
Oh,
when
yeah.
you're if you're not looking for God,
Yeah, man, that's the difference. Yeah.
you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? If you're not looking for God, then forget blue smoke and angels. You know what I'm saying? You is that that's the only thing that gets your attention? You know how many times I've had people correct me and they had no idea that God was using them to correct me? They're just talking. You know what I'm saying? They're just talking, and I'm like, okay, God, I got it. I got it. I got it.
You
Thank
can
you, Lord. I
hear
got it.
truth in it.
You hear the truth and you're willing to apply it. Why? Because you're looking for God in everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, now I would say that just for the listeners, Bruce mentioned this earlier. Anybody that's listening or watching this podcast, he mentioned it earlier. Sometimes if something is mentioned, then you automatically go to anger or what the world calls being triggered. If you automatically go straight to anger, I would caution you to take a step back and examine the content to see if there's truth there. Right? I get it. It's natural. It's a natural reaction, but at some point you got to rein yourself back in and say, wait a minute, before I fly off the handle, is what this person's saying true? Does it line up with the word of God? Or is what I'm trying to teach and what I'm trying to live out, does that just appeal to my flesh? And does that make me feel a certain way?
Well,
Right?
it's just your opinion, Troy. That's just your opinion, man. You're speaking truth from the Bible, but someone will say that's just your opinion. That's just
It's
how you see
crazy.
it. That's not how I see it. That's just how you see it.
Which is crazy.
It's listen. Okay, I got another one. 2 Corinthians 11. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And we like to quote that part, but it
But
talks
not the part
about false
above.
apostles before it gets to, and Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants, you hear that? If his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, their end will correspond to their deeds. There are men and women out there that for the most part have called themselves.
Oh my goodness. That's a callback to season one, I think, or season two. Yeah, I think it is. I think that's a callback to season two, but I got you.
Are men and women that have called themselves. I heard a young man, I don't know him personally, but I heard a young man recently talk about, and he's a pastor now, has become very well known. And I heard him say out of his own mouth, man, that how he was laying down how he gets his messages for each week, each Sunday. And how he goes online. First red flag, go online. You know what I'm saying? Second red flag, I got people I call to help me put some stuff together each week, and I can call my team per se to help him put messages together for Sunday service. Now, I'm not saying, let me just be clear. Everybody likes to use that term. I had to throw that in there because I'm laughing on the inside. The
I got you.
let me be clear. Oh, I'm so tired of hearing that, but that's another story. That was a squirrel moment. Sorry, y'all. I'm coming back. But I will laugh at it when I edit this later. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that the young man did anything wrong. It's just that it threw up red flags for me. Talking about putting a message together. Doesn't the Bible said that we are epistles to be read of men?
It does. It does.
But I go online, look up a certain subject, put something real clever together, make it rhyme a little bit, You
Oh
know,
boy.
make point one connect, make the first point, the last point connect to the first point, bring it round all the way circle. Everybody thinks I'm a genius. I'm just saying, this doctrine of devils thing goes really, really, really deep. It's extraordinarily subtle. And unless you are in the Word of God for yourself and spending time with God, you may be more susceptible to doctrines of devils than you would ever think you were. Full stop.
100%. Here's a passage, Isaiah 14, and we usually attribute this to the fall of Lucifer. In Isaiah 14, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. And in case it has never been pointed out to you, look at how many times he said, I will, I
I
will, I
will.
will,
I will.
I will.
Yeah.
Not God's will, but I
Nope.
will.
I will.
I will. I will.
Didn't we do a podcast on will worship?
We did. And this is a great example of it. The perfect example of it. He says, I will, I will, I will. This is where we can get a really good look at the doctrine of devils when it points to you. When that doctrine points to you, if it exalts you, if it pushes you forward, everybody's looking to go viral. And it bothers me when you construct a sermon for the purpose of going viral. That does bother me because who does that glorify? Right?
It glorifies you, man.
Yeah, so construct the sermon for the purpose of edifying and uplifting, hopefully for the purpose of salvation and definitely for the purpose of discipleship. But doing that so you'll go viral, doing that so you can add 1,000 more people to your local church. What are we doing? What are we doing when we point to I, when we point to I, and you keep pointing to I and keep pointing to I and keep pointing to I, look at who you sound like. Right? This is what's in. I believe this stuff is important to God the Father, so we don't slip and fall into the same potholes that other people have.
Yes, sir.
This there's sound doctrine that the Bible talks about, and then there's this doctrine of demons that the Bible's talked about, and you have a choice which one you want to indulge in,
Absolutely.
right? No different than the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You have a choice in which one you want to be a part of.
That's right.
God said this way back in Deuteronomy, I've set before you this day blessings and cursings, right? He says also life and death, and then he gives you the hint. He says, choose life.
Choose life.
He gives you the hint what you should choose. It's no different than this.
He gives you an
Of course.
extremely strong hint because he tells you, choose
Choose.
life.
This is no different than where we are today. Again, nothing is new. You have a choice between which tree you want to eat from. You have a choice to see which kingdom you want to be a part of. This doctrine of demons is so serious and it's so subtle. You have to be in the, let me say this the right way, Bruce. You have to be in the Word of God, but that's not enough. You also have to be in the presence of God.
You have to be in the presence of God, man.
You have to be in both.
You do.
And you'll get the fullness of truth in both.
You do.
This is where God exposes himself to you. He exposes he expo the revelation that you spoke about that comes through intimacy. This is being in his presence.
It
This is where
is.
you learn who you are and what you can do
Yes.
and how you should live and how you shouldn't live. Outside of that, if it's just you in the word alone without ever getting to the presence, then I have to ask this question, are you really in the word?
Yeah, right.
Right? And so
Absolutely, man.
this is stuff I love talking about. I thought this
Absolutely.
would be a good conversation to have.
I mean,
And I really
we barely scratched the surface, man. You said it earlier.
barely.
We could go for 3 hours easy. You
Easy.
know, we
I really hope you guys engage us in the comments when it
Yeah,
comes
I would
to this
love to
particular
see,
episode.
you know, what people are thinking, man. You know, as I said earlier, Truth is violent. God's truth has a violent component to it, but only in the sense of the scalpel cutting out the cancer. It's there's a cut, there's something being removed in a very precise way. That's what truth does. Cutting down, right? Dividing soul and spirit, joint
Absolutely.
and marrow, right?
Surgical.
Surgical, but only to remove what will kill you, never to cause damage,
No.
but to simply remove what is trying to kill you.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's my last point on it, man. And we talk about these things because we love Jesus and we believe we are supposed to do this podcast and talk about these things, but we talk about these things also because the Lord has put the love of people in our hearts as well. And it's worth it. It's worth it to Troy and Bruce that you might not want to listen anymore or follow us anymore. It's worth taking that chance, man. You know what I'm
It
saying?
is.
It's worth it because maybe, possibly, what if we're the only ones that you ever hear say a particular thing and you've been in your church for umpteen years and never heard it? And what if God has raised up us and a bunch of other people like us that do these types of things? You know what I'm saying? For me, it's worth it. For me, it's worth taking the chance and
Me too.
saying the hard thing. Just in case I'm the only one, Troy is the only one, right, that you will ever hear that from.
It is worth it.
It's worth it.
Great conversation. Had a lot of fun with this one. And again, listen, if you guys hit us up in the comments, or you can see right here, h20live.org, info at h20live.org. You can see that. Hit us up with an email. Let
And
us
if
know
you
what you're
say you're
thinking.
an idiot, make sure you spell Troy's name right. Troy, Troy, you're an idiot. Okay, so.
And if you can't spell that, I have to question which one of us is the idiot, right? I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for spending your time with us here under the fig tree.